Scripture reading comes from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Seek the Lord while he might be found. Call upon him while he is near.
I have two words and two definitions. I want to start with, I'm not for sure how to pronounce the second word. I got the definition of it though. I asked a couple of different people how to pronounce it, and I got a couple of different answers. The first one is apathy, lack of feeling or emotion, lack of interest or concern. You ready, Pam? The second one's lethargy. That was the other one someone told me. I went with mine. I still can't say yours. Lethargy. The quality or state of being lazy or sluggish. Two definitions, two ideas. We think that we have problems today. We talk about our country. We talk about our world. And we say we have lazy people. And we do. But it goes back to the Bible. I guess the main point of my lesson tonight is going to be that such problems that I'm going to bring up tonight, they existed in the New Testament as well. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 4, Jesus said, I have somewhat against you because thou hast left thy first love. Lack of feeling, lack of emotion, lack of interest, lack of concern. We have an idea, we start down a path, and we get bored with it, we get turned around, we go another direction, we decide, I'm not interested in this anymore. I wonder how many people start serving God, start living the Christian life, and get to a point where they lose interest in it. Jesus also said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, he said, I know your works. He said that thou art neither cold or hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. But because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The state of being lazy, sluggish, or indifferent. Not committing one way or the other. Maybe have inside yourself that I want to live this Christian life. I want to live good. I want to do good. I want to do these things, but you're uncommitted to it. Thought it was two very interesting definitions to go along with what Dale read for us. We need to recognize the urgency of our attitude, recognize the urgency of the way that we live our life. Dale read for us, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord while he's near. What does that mean? What does it mean to you when we read Isaiah 55 and verse 6? To me, as I read it and I studied it and I thought about it, there's going to come a time when it's too late. It's going to come a time when we call upon the Lord or we decide to have interest in the Lord and we decide that I need to be faithful to God. I need to rededicate my life to God. I need to share the Lord with other people. I need to talk to other people. And we put it off, we put it off, and we put it off more to the point that we run out of time. God's not there anymore because time is over. I got three things tonight I want to mention to you. The lesson will not be long, but I do want you to think about these three things. The first one is people say that we live in a wicked world. And we do. But it's not a new thing. It's not a new thing at all. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. God looked down in the book of Genesis and he said, this is bad. This is wicked. Look at where the people have gone. Look at what they're doing. I guess a little side note real quick. I wonder what God is saying today. I wonder if there were to be another Bible at some point down the history of time, and it won't be, but if it was, what would God say about the time that we lived? Would he say, look how great these people had it. Look at all the luxuries that I've given them, all the medicine, all the electricity, the air conditioning, the automobiles, all the great things we have, and they still will not turn to me. People are getting more attached to the worldly things than they are God. That's the way it was in Genesis. They didn't have automobiles, but they had God, and they became wicked. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, he urged the Philippians to be blameless, and he urged them to be sincere in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. He said, shine as lights in the world. Even though it may be darkness, even though all around us we may say we live in a wicked world, Paul said, in the midst of the crooked and perverse nation, he said, you shine as lights, regardless of what goes on. Tonight, maybe, we need to wake up. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, he said, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Wherever you're at tonight, wherever you're at in your relationship with God, no matter what stands between you and God, no matter what you carry in your heart and in your mind that you know stands between you and God, Paul says, awake. Wake up. And then don't sin. Paul also said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. First thing is, people say we live in a wicked world. It's nothing new. The second thing, people say that we're running out of time. And then some people say we've got plenty of time. Some people talk and will predict the end of time, and some people live in such a way that you think that they will never die and the world will never end because they never think about God, they never think about eternity, they only live in for the moment. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Whatever you decide to do, do it with everything you got. Because, brethren, when we leave here, there's nothing to be done in that grave. So we are running out of time. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, behold, now, or today is the day of salvation. We keep putting it off. We keep kicking the can. We keep thinking we've got plenty of time to teach our children. We've got plenty of time to teach our grandchildren. We've got plenty of time to get our life right with God. And then we run out of time. I was watching a movie. Don't know the name of it. But there was a priest in the movie. And the priest was talking to a person that had lived and living a very wicked, wicked life. Had killed and done a number of things in their life, and the priest begged this person to confess their sins. The person's response was, I've got plenty of time. The priest said, you might die. He said in the movie, I'm not going to die till I'm ready. Now that was just a movie. But I wonder how many people really feel that way. I've got plenty of time, and I'm not going to die until I'm good and ready. Paul said today is the day of salvation. He also said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, redeem the time because the days are evil. And then the third and final point I want to mention tonight. We talked about what people say. People say we live in a wicked world. People say we run out of time. God says it's time to get busy living a godly life. It's time to get busy living the godly life. And here are five scriptures. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. We are supposed to be the salt and the light of the world. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 1 that you should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. The things that we're called to do by the gospel, we need to walk worthy of that. Don't forget the scriptures we started with when we was talking about Jesus and knowing your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 8, and actually all the way through verse 15, and in verse 15 he says, don't walk as fools, but walk as wise. Colossians 1 and verse 10, he said, walk worthy of the Lord. God says in his word, we need to get busy living a godly life. The Bible teaches us that we should take no or make no provisions for the flesh. You know, we think about what we're going to do today and tomorrow and next week, and we don't give an account for God sometimes. Where is God in your life? Are you a New Testament Christian? Do we avoid tempting circumstances in our life? I ask that one more time. Do we avoid tempting circumstances in our life? Or is there something in our life that we know that tempts us and we like to play with it? Because we get excitement or we get a rush or we get a thrill out of it. We play with that temptation and we fall to that temptation from time to time, and the whole time we're telling ourselves, I've got plenty of time to come back to God. It's almost like we're telling ourselves, I'm not going to die until I'm ready. I'll live like I want to live, and at some point in my life, I'll come back to God. There's not a one of us in here that does not recognize the fact that we need to be right with God. There's probably not a one of us in here that does not recognize that when we leave this earth, we're going to go spend eternity in heaven, or we're going to go spend eternity with Satan in hell. And once we leave, that's it. Let's make sure we're not living our life thinking, I won't die till I get ready. Let's get ready. Let's get ready and live our lives ready, so that when we leave here, we'll have a home in heaven for all eternity. If you need to respond to them,